Thank you for that, and welcome back to the program on Sports Byline USA, which is coast to coast and also around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Glad to have you all with us, and it is Tuesday at 9:40 p.m. AM. It's not nighttime yet, but we are here in our customary slot for SailSportsTalk.com, and co-hosting this as usual is our friend Karen Lyle. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great. We're on our 255th show today.
Wow. All right. Well, let's get to our guest. It is Linda Lindquist Bishop, a very accomplished sailor, and the accolades and platitudes go on and on. But Linda, welcome. I like this in the little blurb. It says you thrive in high-risk stretch goal team environments. I've never heard the term stretch goal. What does that mean to you?
Oh, well, great to be with both of you. Stretch goal is a big goal. So, you know, win a world championship, you know, win a national championship, more than an incremental goal.
Linda, you are one of the women who were on the all-women America's Cup Team 3, along with Don Riley, our friend who's been on the show many times. What was that like, having women from all over the United States gathering together to compete in America's Cup?
Oh, it was fantastic. I think the line I've used probably 1,000 times is God didn't intend 27 type A women to cohabitate for a year and a half. But we made it work, and it was awesome. It was, every day was not fun. And just like in any competitive environment, we're competing both against, you know, the other teams, but against each other. So that always adds to the color of the environment and the challenges.
Sailing on over 100 teams in the past 30 years plus, what have you learned about, like, if you were to form a brand new team today, what would be some of the main points you would hit very early?
Oh, great question. I think it's the same ones I feel strongly about in business and starting a company or building a team. You know, you have to start with a common goal. You have to start with the people that really get what we're trying to do and want to commit. The commitment part is really important. And then they have to have the right skills. Because as we've seen on some of these, you know, all-star basketball teams, they're really all-star groups of excellent individuals. It's a whole different thing to make a team where people really, you know, pull together. They have to be excellently individually, but they have to be committed to one another, own their mistakes, work through the problems, and really work to continuously improve every day.
How has your experience sailing translated into your daily life?
Oh, I think from a personal standpoint, it's the commitment of the schedule. I mean, I've gotten up, you know, for 5 o'clock, 5:30 gym time since before college. And that's something that's just become part of my success equation. The health and fitness part, at the end of the day, I do like hard. It challenges me every day. I'm not looking to be in an impossible situation, but I don't like coasting very much or easy. And I think sailing's really given me, you know, the platform to pursue hard. Whether it's the weather, the team, or the goal. And then business-wise, the analogies and models are just so aligned. It's staggering, whether it's dealing with dynamic, diverse environments, all the team leadership components, continuous improvement, you know, self-leadership. The analogies are tremendous.
Can you tell us a little bit about the GL52 Winter Series? Because I know you got those planned for Florida and Newport, Rhode Island. Huh?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. The GL52s are a 52-foot elite sailboat. They're tied to what is called the 52 Super Series over in Europe. And we have just completed our winter series down in Key West, two events, which was fantastic. We had five of our top boats down there. from all over the country. We had a Rusty Rooster trophy for the series, which Team Fox won. And the 52 fleet has been around for about 4 years, but it's really growing. Last year we had 7 boats. We have 15 boats heading into 2024. About 5 of those will be racing in Newport, and 10 or 11 of them will be doing a Great Lakes series this summer. So we're really excited. We just put our website up, which is gl52racing.com. Social media is going. So we're excited to share the great racing and people that we have in the fleet. And we also have some great community projects. We're looking to not only give back, but help build, you know, the grassroots level of the sport as well.
Well, this was a series that was founded in 2019, right before the pandemic, by 5 TP52 owners. So how did that affect the beginning of it, and when did it start back up again?
Oh, great question. These were 4 owners out in the Great Lakes, Chris Duhon, Phil O'Neill, Bob Hughes, and Doug DeVos, and then Austin Fragaman, a TP52 Super Series owner with InterLodge, and the 5 of them got together and decided, you know, let's do some great racing with these boats in the U.S. And the majority of that has been done in the Great Lakes the last 4 years. We've started the Winter Series a couple years ago, and we're just starting to build on that. So that's really the impetus of the fleet. And now as more of these 52s are becoming available and people are finding out what just phenomenal racing this is, they're really excited about the class. I mean, at both events this winter, we had every single team was hitting the windward mark. We had a different team hitting that windward mark in first place. And the apple cart got upset a lot. And, case in point, this Key West Cup we just finished on Saturday, the first and second place was a 1-point spread. So every race you're going in for all the marbles, and that's a great way to go sailboat racing.
Got more questions for Linda Lindquist Bishop, Rick Tittle, and Karen Lau here with you on Sports Byline at SailSportTalk.com. Linda, you published Yachting Magazine, and I can only imagine the trials and tribulations. We were just hearing like Sports Illustrated is going under, everything. Everybody's reading everything on their phones. What was those challenges like for you?
Oh, great question. Well, the biggest one is I'd never been in the magazine business. So it was something new. They asked me to be a publisher after I was involved in the America's Cup and had run the sponsorship side of the cup as well as sailed. And our biggest challenge at that point is it had been fiscally negative for 30 years, which was not uncommon when back in the day when magazines were owned by family businesses or boutique businesses. And I was able to partnering up with some senior people there, get the magazine turned around in a year and a half. So that was really rewarding. And then right after I left was when the big roll-up started. I was with Times Mirror at Time Mirror Inc. And many of our magazines were purchased shortly after. And I think Yachting's had 4 or 5 owners since I've been there. So that's been, you know, some of the challenges of this magazine industry is we've gone from print to digital and a combination of both. And how do you still be able to justify great editorial, you know, when so much is expected free? It's been a tough model for the magazine industry.
Linda, can you share with us a moment that you've had on the water that you feel is kind of a defining moment of why you are in sailing and racing?
Oh, gosh. There are thousands of them. Some are people, some are sailing. I'll pick one. We were racing in San Francisco, Far 40 Worlds, back in 2004. Terry Hutchinson was our tactician. I think the lightest that blew that regatta was 22. We had 40 boats. So it was crazy. 12 countries, and just being in the middle of the boat and surfing down waves and being in the heat of the battle. It was so ferocious, and we were up at the top of that event. We ended up winning that World Championship, but I just remember that moment on the boat with the whole boat under me, the whole crew jamming, the fleet screaming around us, and it was one of the most alive moments of my life. It was spectacular.
Did you ever?
But I'm lucky. I get to have a lot of those moments of sailing. We all do.
Did you ever have a moment of peril or a moment where you thought, "Uh-oh, that was a rookie move. I got it wrong."
Well, I've certainly had those I've caused myself, and there are certainly situations where it gets pretty hairball and scary. I will say I'm fortunate that for many years I've sailed with really competent people, so in the scary situations, I feel pretty confident, but, you know, broaching over and getting pinned underneath between, you know, the stanchions and not knowing whether the boat's coming back up and those kind of circumstances certainly give you pause once in a while.
Mm. What would be advice for people coming into sailing who are not traditionally represented in sailing as to how to manage the hurdles that they might face?
Really good question, and that's something we're all working, you know, to try and expand. Community level sailing is a great place. There are literally thousands and thousands of community sailing centers that may be YMCA. Some are supported by yacht clubs, park district programs, school programs. A lot of people don't realize the IHSA, International High School Association, as well as collegiate sailing. But it takes communities to create these opportunities so that people that normally wouldn't have access have access. And I get to work and be around a lot of these organizations, and it's so heartening because it's life-changing. Just as when any of us have a new experience we didn't have before, it expands our thinking and, most importantly, what confidence we have about ourselves. You just gain so much confidence when you step into a new area that might be scary and you learn something. So my challenge or ask of people would be to find the places in your community that are reaching out to those that wouldn't normally have access and get involved. You know, whether it's the, you know, inner city, or there's rural programs to bring kids into the water. We do a lot of work with military vets, the Warrior Sailing Program, and just so many community sailing programs. So look around in your own backyard, because there's most likely some place that is trying to get people on the water that normally wouldn't get to do that.
There she is, Linda Lindquist Bishop, so accomplished. Thank you so much for your time and insights. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you both today. Have a great day. Yep.
Good stuff. And thank you, Karen, as well. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, we'll see you then.
All right.
We will on Sailsport Talk.
Sailsportstalk.com. Check out the website.